It's time for the Something Something Cast.
Something Something Cast.
I'm James Hatton, and this is
Podcast Rob.
And we are back again.
We are, for the third time. They haven't taken us off the internet yet.
No, they tried.
Did they?
No.
Can they do that?
Not really. I mean, it's not like if we were serving child pornography, maybe, but we're, I mean, not on that part of the website.
Yeah.
So if you're looking to email us, you can do it at somethingsomethingcast@gmail.com.
Or you can visit us on the web at somethingcast.com.
It's a lot of somethings.
It is. Yeah, and yet, somehow, we're one something short, or one something too many. I don't know. It's all so confusing.
It is. It's like a runic rhyme.
last episode, we talked about...
Remakes, reboots,
yes,
rehashes.
Remakes and reboots. This episode, we're going to go... it's still somehow a little bit connected, but only in like a...
secondarily, tertiarily sort of way, yeah.
Exactly.
Adaptations.
Book to movie, TV show to movie, movie to TV show. There is. There is a, I believe the technical term is metric fuckton.
That would be. A cubic assload also.
I believe, yeah. Yes. I mean, just to touch on a few, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, Dexter, Game of Thrones, Lemony Snicket, 2001 A Space Odyssey, Lord of the Flies, Color Purple.
True Blood or Death!
That's Madison.
True Blood.
Or Death, in fact.
Yes. Madison, thank you. True Blood, another adaptation.
Yeah. Game of Thrones.
Pretty much, if it's on TV or has been a movie, it probably at one time was a book.
Yeah, or a comic or what have you. Yeah.
So, instead of trying to hash all of these...
Because we could honestly sit here, list off each one, say three words, and fill up an hour and not have touched all of them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we're going to go with...
a format we know and love.
Yes. Or at least know.
Yeah. Or have agreed upon previous to the show.
we're gonna take our licks at what we think is our best version of an adaptation from mm-hmm. book or TV show to movie or any one of those combinations. A worst... adaptation, and then something we'd really like to see.
Yes.
Something a wanted, if we were the owners of a movie company, we would want to make a fantasy, you know, fantasy
in
football draft. Yes, in a world where we decided what movies were made.
In a past where they never knew what happened. What? I don't... In a future they're never going to decide upon. Stop! Just stop.
That actually we may end up touching upon, but that's... the secret. I'll tell you later.
Did you read The Secret? That's not what you meant. Go ahead.
No. okay, so I will start off. For me, pound for pound, best translation from a book to a movie, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Okay, first one?
Yes, first book in the series.
Okay.
Long story short, friend of mine's wife had these books. She mentioned she was reading them. I laughed at her. She glared at me, and I said, aren't they kids' books? She gave me the first book. She said, start reading it. If you don't like it, great, fine. So I take the book home. It sits on my nightstand for like 3 days. 5 days later, I call her up and go, do you have the second book I can borrow, please? Tore through it and ended up adoring the books. Great books, I thought. The first movie.
I think you might be going a little crazy out on a limb by saying the Harry Potter books are pretty good. I think that might be an odd opinion for the internet. There doesn't seem to be a lot of people who like them.
Yeah, I know it's fairly unpopular.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm gonna
We're
get,
a controversial you know, show here.
Exactly. I'm going to get inundated by howlers from muggles for weeks because of that opinion. But, I mean, listen, there were entire swaths of dialogue that were ripped right from the book and handed to the actors.
Oh, sure.
For that first movie. J.K. Rowling had so much control over what happened with that book and what didn't, with that movie, I should say, that if they wanted to change something or cut something from the book, they had to have a sit-down with her and explain why, and she had to okay it. A lot of people, they feel the Chris Columbus versions, because he did the first two,
mm-hmm.
They felt very thin, not a whole lot of substance to them, all, you know, all show, no go. But for page to screen, my bet, best one out there.
And I will say, what I really loved about those first two movies versus the later ones, and I enjoy the later ones too, the backgrounds, there was more detail paid attention to in the backgrounds of Hogwarts very specifically and Diagon Alley in those first two movies that I feel they're, like, the later movies just looks like, it's kind of a shitty magical Britain, I guess. The other ones, every painting moved. Every head turned. Every candle flickered with a shape. Like, every little nuance of CGI was paid attention to, and I felt that they let that go as they got into more of the adulty adventure.
I agree with you, and personally, I'm willing to forgive them that, because I tend to think they could. In the first movie, there's, you know, the first half of the book is Harry doesn't know what's going on, and, what do you mean I'm a wizard? How do you get to Hogwarts? Mm-hmm. What do you mean I walk through this wall? And so there was all that that was new
sure.
to everybody. Once you get to the third book, and again, you know, Cuarón took the look and the color palette of the third movie in a completely different direction yes. than Columbus did in the first two. And he changed a lot of things. There was a lot of, you know, the internet cried with, you know, the death of a thousand souls because he moved Hagrid's hut from one side of the pumpkin patch to the other.
I didn't even know that was a thing. I didn't know that was a thing.
It so was. But there, he was so... When I watched that first movie and you see them walk into the Great Hall of Hogwarts...
Oh, it's amazing.
It was exactly... the movie that played in my mind when I read the book was on the screen.
Sure.
Exactly the same. When you see them all in the boats with the little lanterns and all the first years are going across the lake, it was just like... It was ridiculous how accurate it was to the vision that I had in my head.
That's kind of my point, is that I felt that that first set of movies, that first couple movies... It showed that eye for detail, and you're right, by the time we get to the third, fourth, etc., yeah, you know the world, but I don't think that means that all of those paintings stop talking, and the ghosts aren't flying through the air, and, you know, you only see Nearly Headless Nick, I don't know, fleetingly throughout the rest of the films, but he's just chiming through the first two, hidey-ho, and that's what I loved about him. I thought that they made me feel childish. And that's good. That's what I look for in a childish movie.
I do agree with you. Like I said, I was okay to forgive it because no. I think they had bigger fish to fry. So
fuck them.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Alphonse Cuarón, fuck you. If you're listening, thank you first of all, and then fuck off. Put the pumpkin patch back, damn it.
I could
care less. Okay. I didn't like the color palette because everything got very washed out in steel gray.
It really, really felt like it was like fun and hungry.
And like, it also, the kids went from students at a magic school that had uniforms to like Abercrombie and Fitch models because I think they spent 15 minutes of the entire movie wearing their uniforms. Yeah. The rest of the time they were in, you know, jeans and hoodies and long sleeve shirts and mm-hmm. whatnot. And there was that whole, To Mama y Tambien, or whatever movie it was that he made. What was the movie that he did?
No, that's the name of it.
Before that, there's that whole scene that he kind of referenced that weird kind of coming of age thing very slightly in that scene where Buckbeak is supposed to get killed,
right?
And it cuts to and there's Harry standing there, and Hermione kind of hangs on and hugs to Harry, and then Ron kind of leans over and hugs Hermione, kind of thing. It's that whole weird movie cover to that other movie that he did.
That's really funny. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah,
I'm very not familiar bizarre. With this.
It, all of like 10 seconds, if that. But it was that little uncomfortableness.
And the internet was there.
It was.
So my favorite book to movie. Hands down, perfect translation, almost line for line, Shawshank Redemption.
Okay.
The original was Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption. But there is not a single thing in that movie that isn't in that book, and a single thing in that book that isn't in that movie. It's Stephen King does his best work when he does a short story, and it's translated perfectly. His best movies are short stories. His long-form stuff never makes a good movie.
Right.
Dreamcatcher, It... The Stand, like, even if you love those books, and there's people who really, really love It, and I really enjoy The Stand, didn't make a really great TV movie, but Shawshank Redemption, the only thing that's different, and it's different, which makes it better, is Morgan Freeman, in the book is actually just a scummy Irish dude.
Okay.
So now you have Morgan Freeman going, you know, why do they call you Red? Well, in the book, he goes, well, probably because I'm Irish. And it's not a, okay, it's a throwaway line. But when Morgan Freeman says it, it's balls funny. Probably because I'm Irish. And plus, it's goddamn Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman can, Sean Connery used to be the guy who could do no wrong.
Yeah, and then it was James Earl Jones.
Yeah, and then, yeah, Highlander 2 and First Night came out, and Sean Connery could do a lot of wrong. Morgan Freeman is that guy, though. And if anybody's going to come out and play a scummy Irish guy awesome, it's motherfucking Morgan Freeman, because he fucking played God. Let's not forget that.
That's true.
Andy Dufresne crawled through a column of shit and came out cleaner than a rose.
You touched on Dreamcatcher. I'm just going to throw this out there.
Please.
Never read the story.
Bad.
Love the movie.
Really?
I thought the movie was great. I think it's because of the actors involved.
That's fair. I saw it
because
the actors.
I like all the actors. Except, and again, Morgan Freeman.
Once again, yeah.
Really creepy, bushy fucking eyebrows. But I like all the actors in that movie, so I kind of
I went and saw because Jason Lee was in it. Very specifically.
Jason Lee. Love Jason Lee as an actor.
And I did read
Damian
the book.
Lewis. Love Damian Lewis as an actor.
And I will say that I am not a guy. I will walk around occasionally and just scream, I done it. It's just,
I done it.
I done it. That's just, that was my own personal dit-da-doo, you know.
Every time, see, conversely, every time I have White Castle and I have a race with the devil to the toilet,
right.
The thing that goes through my mind is, what about the shit weasels?
Fair enough.
Same movie, a little bit different.
A little, anyway, little different.
Let's snake back. Let's go with your worst. What do you think was the worst adaptation that you have seen to anywhere?
Well, the one I wrote down in the notes. We're just gonna hold off on that. We'll save that for later.
We had notes
on my notes, my personal.
Oh, okay. Because I didn't study.
Yes,
I'm winging this test.
No studying.
No studying.
Aragon. Did you read Aragon?
I didn't read it. I didn't see it.
Okay.
The little that I know about it is from the episode of American Chopper. They made the motorcycle for the preview.
Really?
Yeah.
I have no idea. All right, so the book.
Not missing much.
The book was written by, like, I don't know, when he started writing it, he was like 16-year-old, and the book shows it. It's a kid and his dragon. Transported to mystical lands, gets a dragon egg. He lives in the middle of the woods and with his grandfather, questionable adult figure, hides the egg from his family, and then the war begins. They're all looking for the egg, and of course, it's a boy and his dragon. He figures out he's a Jedi, dragon warrior, etc.
Right, right.
It's not breaking the bounds of fantasy here, but the fact is that it's very well written for boy and his dragon story. The next two books get better and progressively better as he gets older and figures out how to write. So they made a movie. And they really, really were capping on this Lord of the Rings world. They really were hoping this was their, whichever company made it, I wish I knew, so I could send them hate mail. But the dragon looks like it's painted on CGI. I mean, I'm sure you remember Braveheart. Not Braveheart. The Sean Connery dragon movie.
Dragonheart.
Dennis Quaid and Sean Connery. I'm sure
a
you remember
and
that.
A Boy and His Dragon.
A Boy and His Dragon, and a fucking fantastically fun movie.
It was.
I am the last one. Everybody remembers that stupid shit. Aragon, not so much. The only thing that saves it is Jeremy Irons overacting.
Oh, Jeremy Irons is in this movie.
You want to know what? It's not Jeremy Irons. I'm sorry. It's John Malkovich overacting. Jeremy Irons is the Dungeons & Dragons movie. Am I wrong?
Damn it. I think Jeremy Irons is in Aragon as well.
Is Jeremy Irons in everything? Is he in every shitty dragon movie?
All of our interwebs readers are now, again, tappity, 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 tap, 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 tap.
That's what I'm doing. I need to know immediately.
Of course he was in that movie.
I'll find out within seconds.
Yeah, you're going to do it quicker than I can on my phone. This is what we call up-to-the-minute live reporting.
Jeremy Irons, I was wrong. It was Jeremy Irons.
Live for those of you in this room with us right now.
Oh, but also John Malkovich. Jeremy Irons plays
Wait a minute. Jeremy Irons and John Malkovich are in the same movie?
And it's a pile of shit.
How did the universe not implode?
There was just, they underacted each other just to see if they could. Like, that's the only thing that could have happened, because this film was abysmal. The riff track, I watched the riff tracks of it, because right. I love myself some riff tracks. If anybody doesn't, rifftracks.com. And they couldn't even make it pleasant. Like, Mike Nelson.
Wow.
King Mystery Science Theater, and I was still bored to tears at this fucking film.
There is this, go. this is like Lost Continent bad?
It's up there.
Rock climbing, Joel.
It's up there.
Rock climbing.
I would happily sit with somebody else and inflict the pain, because shared pain is lessened, shared joy increased. So if you want to cry for an hour.
This book, if I remember correctly, came out maybe in the middle of the Harry Potter craze?
Yeah, it was right in there.
It was kind of like trying, I don't want to say it was designed to, but I think the publisher was hoping it would latch on to that whole, you know, boy suddenly thrust into a fantasy world.
Sure,
they
all
did. Audience.
There were so many of them. I mean, Percy Jackson and Evil Genius. Like, there's thousands of them. But I liked Aragon. I did kind of fall in. I tried some of the other ones. I love Kid Lit. I love young adult literature.
Okay.
And that one, Aragon caught on to me. Percy Jackson I didn't like so much. But
okay.
So what's yours? What is your shit pile?
Worst translation ever. Whenever, for my money, a movie starts with the tagline, based on the novel by...
And Sapphire.
You put a name in there, it's going to be a steaming pile of shit.
Okay.
If you have to tell your audience from the very beginning, this was my source material, because you're not going to be able to figure it out from what's on the screen, that's probably a bad sign. The Musketeer.
Okay.
The Musketeer was Crouching Tiger, Hidden Fencer. It was really trying to latch on to that whole crazy wirework, martial arts, sword fighting thing. And I love me some Tim Roth. He was the villain in this movie.
I'm just trying to remember whether I saw it. That's actually what I'm...
It was really bad. If I remember correctly, 90% of all of these sword fighters were, like, Korean or or Vietnamese or something. They weren't English. They weren't even passable as English, which is why most of the sword fight scenes, they all look like Rosencrantz and Guildenstern from the beginning of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead. They have big, wide, floppy-brimmed hats pulled down to their eyebrows. They have bandanas pulled up to just under their eyes so you can't even see what their face looks like, because they don't want you to know that they're actually 4'9" Korean people and not 5'10" D'Artagnan, you know, juggling on giant wine cask barrels while fighting off five other swordsmen. It was just a bad movie, and based on the novel by Alexandre Dumas. It really should have been based on the name of a book I saw on my college roommate's bookshelf one time when I went in to borrow a dime bag.
That's Vogan poetry right there.
But the movie was Vogan poetry. It was that bad.
So in the time in which you were... Your vitriol was
venting,
was spewing.
Yes. Just I cleansing went, like, my soul.
I had to sift through 8,000 Three Musketeers movies to finally stumble across this one. And
what's the star rating on IMDb for this? I'm curious.
6.8. Never judge.
No.
Never
scroll
judge
up
these
higher.
People. Oh, I'm sorry.
4.6.
4.6.
Almost as bad as From Justin to Kelly. I'll just throw that out there
did,
for you.
Did that have just as good fighting choreography, Justin to Kelly?
Probably. Yeah.
See, now I looked and Mina Savari's in it, and that makes me sad.
It wasn't a good movie.
That's fair.
The whole end sequence was supposed to be an homage and based off of a fight sequence from Hard Boiled.
Okay.
And, you know, Tim Roth and D'Artagnan, like this, there's this 800-foot-tall silo that's filled with varying size ladders. And they're like hopping from ladder to ladder, doing all this weird sword fight work and everything, climbing up ladders backwards. And it was painfully obvious that not only was the footage sped up, but it looked like it was filmed and then played back in reverse. Like, it was utterly bad.
Yeah, this doesn't sound... I never saw it.
Utterly, but you are a better man for it. I mean, it was horrid. Absolutely horrid. And for those of you who don't believe me, who happen to be listening to this podcast, we're going to try the whole, oh my God, I think this milk is spoiled. Taste this.
Yes, have a sip.
Go watch it for yourself. And then you can, you know, hit us back in our Facebook group or email us at somethingsomethingcast@gmail.com.
Excellent.
And you can agree with me or disagree with me. Rob, you're full of shit. That was the best movie ever put to film. And then we will boot you from the group.
No, I... And then you are dead to us.
Exactly.
We go, oh, we go complete Uncle Sato on them.
Yes.
You are dead to me.
I can't tolerate it.
No, and I never, as a suggestion to all people ever, do not read the forums on IMDb in the same way you don't read comments on YouTube. Like, you just don't do that. Second thread right there, one of the worst movies I've ever seen. So, how is this not in the bottom 100?
I don't know. It really was bad. And I paid to see this in the theater, too. That makes it like a double sting. Worse than the Matthew Broderick Godzilla.
Wow.
Worse than The Gods Must Be Crazy.
This is some dark shit, it's, sir.
Yeah, this is
the darkest timeline.
We're tapping a nerve that I think has been raw for a very long time.
This
movie, like, sucked dirty ass. It was bad.
So henceforth, in all future episodes, I need to get to Angry Rob. Hey, Rob.
I'm okay.
The Musketeer.
I'm good.
The Musketeer?
I'm good. I've
Rob,
cleansed my soul.
Rob, put the
Don't
Musketeer.
Make me hurt you. Swear to God.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next.
So we've touched on best. We've touched on worst.
The ones we want.
Yeah, let's go fantasy. Mr. Right. Hatton.
Snow Crash. Familiar?
I am not.
All right.
Enlighten me.
I shall. It was a dark time for our people. Now, there's a book called Snow Crash. It's written by Neal Stephenson. He's written a bunch of big books that prove that he knows more about everything than you know about anything. Most of them are a little long-winded. Cryptonomicon, the Victorian Age, things like that. Or the Diamond Age. Snow Crash, though, was the first book I read by him that I fucking fell in love with. Everything I've read past that, does not compare to Snow Crash. It's basically Day After Tomorrow future, cyberpunk world. We all have avatars in the future internet landscape, 3D World of Warcraft. Everybody's hanging out on a place. Main character's name, hero protagonist. Like, that's what gets you right at the get-go. He's a pizza man, which is a very dangerous job in this, like, dark world that we live in. He's got, like, a skateboard thing. He's got, like, the bulldog, the Biff Tannen bulldog that he rides around in, more or less. But as the book goes, he's like, a samurai in the future cyberspace world. And he sees one of his friends get hit with a virus, which is basically the guy gets a scroll. Somebody walks into the bar that they all hang out in, hands him a scroll. The dude opens it up. It's white noise. His face goes, and the guy dies. They just assume he blips out of the game. No, he dies in the real world, too. It's a brain virus. It totally fucks him up. It's called a snow crash. White noise.
Gotcha.
There you go. So it's the whole story between him, his partner in crime, and this knowledge being a virus. Because now anybody who saw this is now infected with the knowledge of it. So then it transfers around. Really dark stuff. Very, very cool. I know there was discussion. There's been people who have wanted to make it into a movie, and then the fans of the book are like, you're gonna fuck it up. But if you put, like, the Wachowskis behind it, I think you got something there.
I
see this cyber world looking very much like the Speed Racer remake, which was very bright and neon. No, it was good. You're wrong. Mm. It was so much fun.
No, it... And this is coming from, like, somebody who has an absolutely unhealthy obsession with Christina Ricci.
Okay.
Like,
or John Goodman. Anyway.
No, like my pickup line for Christina Ricci is, if I ever run into her in a bar, it's, hi, my name is Rob. Maybe you've heard of me. And when she says no, it'll be, well, you'll be reading about me in the papers tomorrow. She, like, it's
your
that
friends
kind
will
of,
anyway.
Yeah. It's that kind of creepiness. Mm-hmm. And did it look pretty as shit? Absolutely. I mean, it looked like what the race scenes looked like, what a Willy Wonka movie should have been.
Okay.
Like, very trippy. Oh my God. You know, was there, like, contact acid on my movie ticket? I get that.
Right.
And I can see it right for this movie that you're talking mm-hmm. about. I don't think Speed Racer was a good movie.
It's another discussion for another day.
Fair enough.
I can bring key witnesses on this topic.
Are we going to have to set up a courtroom? I see.
It was a good movie. It wasn't a great Speed Racer movie. The discussion I had with somebody literally the other week about it was Speed Racer was a good Speed Racer movie in the same way Josie and the Pussycats was an awesome Josie and the Pussycats movie.
Was it a fun movie?
Yes.
Then that's really what matters, because I'll tell you, off topic, one of my favorite movies of all time, Hudson Hawk.
Yeah. Buffy, Ball Ball.
I'm sorry, not a great movie by any stretch of the imagination, but god damn it if that movie is not fucking hysterical.
It is. It's a damn funny movie.
And I could watch that movie 5 times a day and not get tired of it.
I'm the same way about Josie and the Pussycats.
So I'm with you on it being a bad movie but fun movie. If you enjoyed watching it, then hey, who am I to say that it was a crap movie? But
so that's totally divergent away. Exactly. Snow Crash was mine.
I'm going to go a little close to home. Going back to my youth, I know now there was a bad animated version of this, but I'm going to go with Dragonlance.
I understand.
I stumbled across Dragonlance and, you know, Dungeons & Dragons and King Arthur and
If people out there aren't aware, we're both kind of nerds.
Yes. At an impressionable point in time in my youth. And to this day, I will still pull out the original trilogy and read it like once a year.
I stopped reading the first one.
They don't, they feel a little dated.
Yeah, the first one does.
But they're not amazingly dated. I mean, these things were written, what, 88,
yeah,
89,
something
like that. They don't feel that old, but they feel like, oh, these are like, you know, old. If you can say it feels like an old TSR book, then you're dating yourself,
right?
Because TSR doesn't.
Yeah, what's a TSR?
Anymore.
Yeah,
yeah. But Dragons of Autumn Twilight, Dragons of Winter Night, Dragons of Spring Dawning, mm-hmm. Amazing first trilogy. Even the second trilogy,
excellent. Time of the Twins, Test of the Twins.
I could get into until all the wonky time travel stuff with the Kender. Take the Kender out. Second trilogy, amazing.
Okay.
I think this series is up to over 150 books now.
Something like that.
In the Dragonlance universe.
But are you the same as I am that you consider like the Weiss and Hickman ones? Those are the books. And then
yes.
The rest of them are, those are some books.
Mostly, yes. I'd have to go back and find out who wrote what. But like The Legend of Huma, The Legends stuff,
sure.
The Heroes, rather. Heroes Volume 1,
mm-hmm.
Great stuff. Some of the short story anthologies,
yes.
Good stuff. Riesling's Daughter. Thought it was a good story.
Okay.
Short story, but good nonetheless. But yeah, what got me was when we start getting into individual books about Riverwind and about, you know, all the other stuff, and they didn't show us anything we didn't know. It felt like the original trilogy from a different camera angle,
yeah.
And I'm not throwing $8, $9, $10 a book at you to read the same story from the perspective of the guy 3 feet to the left from the first time I read it.
The annotated version of the Chronicles has, part of it is really, really fun. Weiss and Hickman sitting there talking about like, oh, and we didn't know what Raceland was going to be until we were playing the game and the guy came out with this deep throaty voice and we're like, holy shit, that's Raceland. You know, they go through all of that. The other half of the annotated is, and you might remember Kaz the Minotaur in this other book that we wrote after this fucking book was written. So it's a story about Kaz going home and meeting his Minotaurs, Itchy, Scratchy, and then B. Arthur.
But, and throw money at us and read this book.
So I get what you're saying. That's why I tried to never read too far outside of the box. There's a couple good ones in there. But you're right. The Tales ones, because those always had a Weiss and Hickman story in them. And then even when they got into, I would say, the Summer Burning, and I stopped at Fifth Age. I said, I'm done.
Right, right, right.
Once they, like, killed Kryn, I was done.
The original trilogy, though, I think there's enough that you could cut out of each book to make each movie, you know, hour 45, 2 hours.
Oh, it's so much good stuff.
And make it a trilogy, because, yeah, you know what? We'll be real here. The first book was written off of
D&D notes.
Role-playing game that the writers and developers, because they were making a module for TSR,
yeah.
And they started keeping notes and said, hey, we could make a book out of this. And they did, and it feels that way.
That's the one flaw I have with the first book, is there's literally like, and they just rolled initiative. Like,
yeah.
you can read
yep.
it.
The second and third book had a different feel to it.
Much so.
And even though it's, you know, that kind of TSR gamey fantasy novel, the characters had some depth. There was some struggle there. It wasn't all just, you know, fluff and we're going to market this to the die-rolling geeks who are going to buy it regardless.
And they knew what they were doing right at the beginning of the first book, too, when they all show up at the tavern, because, of course, it's like the quintessential book for as far as I'm concerned, that warriors show up to the tavern. Like, when I think of that, I think of those guys showing up to the Dungeons & Dragons tavern when Kitiara doesn't show up. Right in that first couple chapters, like, she didn't show up. And that's not anything that's really explained until the end of the first book and then beyond.
Yep. But, I mean, you were a tabletop gamer. You played D&D. I played D&D. I'm sure some of our listeners played D&D.
I'm sure all of them did.
How many times did your dungeon master, so, you know, you get your chips, you get your soda or your beer, depending on how old you were when you're playing, you sit down at your table, you got all your pencils and your dice and everything, and your dungeon master goes, "So, you're sitting in a tavern." That's how the first book starts.
Yep, that's it.
I mean, if you were a gamer, you were sold from the first page, because that's how every Saturday afternoon would start.
It's true.
I'm sitting in a tavern waiting for some shit to happen. I'm going to throw an addendum in.
Oh, please.
Because the other thing I would like to see, they did one.
Yes.
And I wasn't happy with it. We're drifting away from Dragonlance. I see you shaking your head. You showed me a clip of the animated Dragonlance. Not good at all.
No.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to tell you, Martin Freeman, I thought, great job as Arthur.
Agreed.
If I was going to put Arthur on film, that's how I would envision him.
Sure.
Zooey Deschanel was not Trillian.
Okay.
I did not get Trillian from her. Trillian in the book, much stronger personality, much more assertive. You know, Zooey's the, you know, quirky kind of...
Yeah, she's the pixie dream girl
thing.
Yeah,
I'm cute because I'm a weird geek kind of thing. I love me some Sam Rockwell. He was wasted as Zaphod in that movie. They made Zaphod so different than he was in the book.
Sure.
That it ruined it for me. If I want to see a Hitchhiker's Guide movie made, get the people who put together Fifth Element, give them the Hitchhiker's book, and said, take this, but do it with this story.
Now, I like the Hitchhiker's movie. I don't love it. It's nothing I hold. I don't have it in my DVD collection. But I enjoyed it for what it was. But that's because I learned a long time ago that Douglas Adams kind of doesn't care what format it's in. He just goes, I'll just write that version for this. I'll just do the radio one. And it'll be different than the book one. And the book one's going to be different than the BBC one. And the BBC one's going to be... They're always a little different. So I swallowed down that pill that it's not going to be my perfect book movie, but I'll accept that it's this movie's movie.
I agree with you on that, and that is an Adams thing. Every time it comes out in a new media format, in Adams's mind, it's died and come back, and this is the new incarnation and the new body it lives in.
Yeah.
So it's just as accurate as the book that I wrote. It's just that this is the movie, and this was the book, and this is the TV show. And I think the only reason I enjoy the movie as much as I do is it's because it's the only movie version we have. I mean, unless you want to watch the BBC version where there's literally a mannequin head duct taped to the guy's shoulder for Zaphod.
I will say that the BBC version still has the scene at the restaurant at the end of the universe where the pig is like, eat me, my liver's quite plump. That I still crack up when I see that scene. It is just still so perfect from the book. And the movie is fantastic. Why? Severus Snape. Because Marvin is perfect.
Yeah. It's.
There's no one else that could be that sad.
There were some good scenes from the movie that did kind of come right from the book. But I would love to see a better version of it. And maybe, you know, like you said, maybe that goes against what Douglas Adams wanted.
It's hard to tell, especially
we'll
because...
We'll never know.
Yeah, I know.
I'll have Cab ask him next time he sees him.
but the rolling gravestones of this show.
It is.
But I will say that the Marvin from the BBC version, the one that kind of looks like Clunky from Pee-wee's Playhouse,
right.
He's my brain Marvin versus the big domey-headed one. Just yeah. as far as look-wise. I don't know. There's like, my brain has hodgepodged it together.
It, to me, I guess my issue with Hitchhiker's Guide, and we're probably divergent again off of this.
That's
but
what we do.
My issue with Hitchhiker's Guide is that when I saw Fifth Element for the first time, it, I mean, obviously you could tell it was a comedy. Sure. There was comedy to it. Wasn't a drama. Wasn't a serious movie.
Not
it
a
was
drop.
Tongue planted firmly in cheek. But it felt to all American audiences that this was not a science fiction movie made by Americans. For some reason, it just had this decidedly British kind of feel.
I could see that. I never considered
it.
That.
The looks, the imagery, the colors. It just felt like it was British sci-fi. And I didn't get that feel from the Hitchhikers movie.
Okay, I see your point.
Which is where I'm thinking you got to get those people from Fifth Element, get them on the horn and say, you know, what would you make the ship look like? What would you? The Heart of Gold is supposed to look like a running shoe. It didn't. You know, I didn't. Marvin, I get you. Big bobble-headed robot. Yeah. Didn't. I didn't feel it for me.
Last tangent. This is, again, taking this even further.
No, it's
funny,
not.
Funny Fifth Element story. Just a quick one.
Okay.
So, me and my girlfriend at the time went to go see. We were going to go see a movie, so we were like, everybody's saying the Fifth Element's kind of good. So, we went and saw it. Haven't been dating that long, maybe a month, so we were real hot and heavy. We're just not watching the movie, the whole movie. We get about halfway through Fifth Element, and we're like, do you want to just go back to my house into the basement so we can have sex? Yeah, I just want to leave and go have sex with you right now. Okay, cool. That's awesome. Let's go. So we get up. We go. We pull in, walk into the house. Well, they goes, how was that movie? I heard it's really good. We were like, oh, it was good. It had a big special effects ending. It was, you guys have only been gone an hour. Yeah, we got to go down into the basement. Only, it wasn't until a year later that I realized how fucking fantastic Fifth Element as a movie was.
I have a friend who lives in New Hampshire. His wife is actually one of the people in our little podcast test audience.
Mm-hmm.
Very big fan of The Fifth Element. Very big fan of The Fifth Element.
It's a great movie.
Son's name, Corbin. She would not let him give him the middle name of Dallas.
Okay.
And would not let their daughter, who's 2 years younger, be named Lilu. No, it wasn't going to happen. But there
they
you
do
go.
Have a dog named Multipass.
You know, she knows it's a Multipass. For you listening, I won't mention names. You know who you are. Rock on with the Fifth Element reference.
Fair enough.
But so yeah, where do we go from here? Adaptations.
Oh, well, there's so many.
Comic book adaptations to movies? I mean, I am not a fan. I do not watch, but I know you do. Do you want to throw any Walking Dead stuff in there?
I've only watched the first season of Walking Dead.
Okay.
And I'll say this. I love Kirkman, because Kirkman kind of said, I know what this is about, and I'm really, really happy that he's doing an entirely different thing. The comic book series, by the end of the first trade paperback, 5-6 issues, there's a main character dead who's been in the series up and through season 2.
Really?
Yeah, totally changed. Very drastically different. Okay. I'm not very far ahead in it. So, I mean, there's tons of comic book adaptations, especially if you start looking, like Arrow has a show now, and there was Smallville.
Arrow, right. Awesome.
That Mads.
Chiming in, Mads, Arrow, awesome.
Yes. Cool. But then there was Smallville had its own universe, and there's been 1,000 cartoons. I mean, I guess we're talking more realism.
I had friends who were very big into the Smallville watching.
I never really got
into it. I never quite understood what they meant when they said, oh, last night was another Yank Me episode. I thought, you know, like yanking my chain, like not a great episode.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently it's an acronym for yet another kryptonite monster.
Ah, that makes sense. Cause
episode.
It,
so well, I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't know that.
But it's like Buffy in this. I mean, this is that whole syndicated television problem, which I'm sure we could tangent onto another entire episode, but Buffy had that whole,
like, get a pen, I'm gonna write that down for a future
fair enough. Because Buffy had that vampire of the week problem.
Okay.
And then, like, Supernatural in the first season had the monster of the week, and X-Files had monster of the week.
Right.
So same thing with Smallville. That first season, before they start to go, oh, we're gonna get more than one season, let's start to build an over arc.
Sure.
They go, yeah, everybody in fucking Smallville has a little bit of kryptonite. It turns them all really mean.
Oh, I gotcha.
So that was what that is. I always heard that it was ever. Is this an episode where Chloe cries? Because not okay. Chloe. I'm sorry, Lana.
Okay.
Because Chloe's the hot one, the blonde.
Gotcha. And you and I have talked about this again. I haven't read the books.
Okay.
I do not have the hobo, so I have not seen the show. But Game of Thrones. I mean, this. The reason I bring this up is because it's topical.
It's utterly topical.
Especially everyone with, loves it. I believe, you know, as the kids are saying, the Red Wedding was just recent.
It was a thing.
And apparently it was a big thing.
It was a
thing. People who knew it was coming, videotaping yeah. people who didn't know it was coming and posting the videos on YouTube.
I went on Twitter because I knew the day the episode was. And right. I read the books. I read up to the end of the fourth book, and then I said, I'm done with you, motherfucker, until you either die or finish this series.
Okay.
Because they're really, really dense.
Right.
And I don't like his writing. That's another okay. argument for a bunch of other people.
From what they say, he's very slow writing them, too?
He's very slow.
Is this...
They're very long-winded.
And there's a rumor, this is why... A rumor, internet rumor, why HBO is doing, like, the next two books as two seasons per book...
Kind
because
sort of.
Not only are they very dense, but they want to pad it out and give him some yeah. fucking time to finish the series.
The other issue is that he, with book, I believe, starts with, I think, 4 to 5. It might be 5 to 6. I don't fucking remember. But he actually takes the cast of characters from the book and splits them into two. So the two books happen simultaneously. 5 and 6. There you go. Mad says 5 and 6. So it's 5 and 6. The two books happen simultaneously because he keeps adding more characters. Literally, you get to book 4 and you're going, okay, I know where we're at. I know what characters we got. Now it's just time to see who lives. And he adds an entire other subcontinent of people whom he mentioned in book 1. One character goes swimming off into the fucking horizon and then they reappear and you get to meet all of the people they've been hanging out with. Itchy and Scratchy and B. Arthur. They're...
But from what I understand...
The show's awesome, though.
From what I understand, that almost needs to happen because the body count is atrocious.
It really is like an iced tea song.
If we don't... It's like a what?
Iced tea song.
If we don't keep adding new characters, we're going to have a short-lived TV series.
Yeah.
And apparently, again, haven't watched the show, haven't read the books, know very little about the show, but I want to come forward and make this point. Apparently, Sean Bean was a major character in this show.
Was, yes.
Yeah. I may be incorrect, but I was led to believe that there were viewers that were somehow shocked and appalled that Sean Bean's character got killed. Now, number one... I guess if you've read the books, you would know the minute his character introduced. You know what? He's going to be offed. But...
In the books?
I'm again. No,
if you've read the books, you know.
You would know his character is going to get offed. Whether you've read the books or not, if you have seen Sean Bean in a movie, and he is suddenly a character in the movie that you are watching... I believe the number one rule is do not fucking get attached.
Yeah, do not attach yourself to something. You want to say it. I'm going to let you say it. You're just chomping at the bit.
One does not simply kill Sean Bean.
Yeah, it's a thing of its own.
Yeah.
I mean, there was Zergnet.com actually had some little wacky article a couple weeks ago about, like, there are 4 actors in Hollywood that have died more deaths than Sean Bean has. Only 4!
And he's not one of those guys who's on your constant radar of, like, you know every movie Sean Bean's been in. When was Sean Bean hasn't been on my movie radar for a very long time. And he's got thousands of deaths.
Well, I mean, the most recent one I can think of is Boromir.
Right, of course.
Since then, I can't think of anything he's been in.
Right.
I mean, he's not like, yes, Game of Thrones, thank you, Mads. It's not like, you know, okay, way tangent out of the box. First Lethal Weapon movie.
Okay.
Okay? The fight that Riggs has with the Asian guy on the front lawn.
The Asian guy was Sean Bean.
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, but you know the guy I'm talking
about. I know exactly
about. Long
about,
hair,
yes.
Kind of bald head, of mustache, course. The torturer guy with the sponges yeah. and the car battery.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a fuck ton of movies, and he always plays, you know, he's never playing the bad guy. He never rides in on the white horse and saves somebody. He's always fucking somebody up and torturing them. Sean Bean has, like, become that guy, but almost that A-list guy. We need a big-name actor that we can kill off.
He's the Barry Horowitz of A-list actors.
I'm surprised he didn't play Phil Coulson in The Avengers. I guess it's because, you know, Whedon would have been concerned that people would have seen it coming a mile away.
Well, and also, I don't know whether you've read the hashtags and everything. Coulson lives. Like,
I do. Yeah, welcome to level 7. Yeah. But yeah, I think that would be, you want to make an M. Night Shyamalanian twist. Let's film a movie and put Sean Bean in it and have him make it to the final credits.
Irony, The Expendables.
Really? He's in The Expendables?
No, but you put him in The Expendables and you have him survive.
Oh, I get it. That's funny. And then you can always kill him in like a post-credit thing.
Yes.
Just to tie it all up for those who stay around and go, wait just a fucking minute. I am not leaving this movie theater until little Sean fucking Bean bites it. But yeah, I don't. It just did seem to me that there were people that seemed shocked that a character that Sean Bean was playing died, and it's just like, I didn't get it. Have you not seen anything else he's done?
Well, and part of the problem with Game of Thrones is, and this is just a problem with my personal bit. You watch the beginning couple episodes or read the first, I don't know, 100 pages, 200 pages, and you go, I get it. These are my heroes. They all went to the inn, and Tannis and Raistlin and Caramon sat down. These are the guys I know I'm going to be following. And then about midway through the book, you go, huh. Well, maybe it's those guys. Huh. And then by the end of the book, you go, oh, that guy died. I guess it's not him. Well, but he's got all his kids. So I guess it's just a generational thing. All right, that's fine. I get it. Next book. Now there's new ones. What? But, oh, and one of the kids is, but now you're separating them all to the, and now she's being raped. Oh, good God. And you just don't know where it's going. Like, and it's to the point where you can say, with really great movies, midway through, you go, I really don't know where it's going, and I can't wait to find out. With this one, I go, I don't know where it's going, and I don't know if I care anymore. Like, it's just, it's way too spread, and they're just going to keep adding new people.
You know who could never write these books?
Please.
Dan Brown.
No, he could not.
Couldn't do it.
Because,
Prologue, page one. Well, obviously, there's your bad guy, there's your good guy, this is where the twist is going to happen, but you know what? Sure, I'll go for the scenery.
That second chapter, somebody's news perspective, they're obviously 6'6" and built like a brick shithouse, doesn't matter their gender. Bet they're the villain.
Bet they're the bad guy. Yeah, I think we're gonna save that for
the Dan Brown episode.
I think we made. Yeah, we're gonna have a Dan Brown episode where we're just gonna go through everything.
Even though most of the like the internet despises him, and you and I are just like, yeah, he's popcorn. We're cool.
Yeah, but the funny thing is that we could do a 10-minute segment on one Dan Brown book, and then just repeat it 7 times, just call it a different Dan Brown book every time, and it will still be an accurate podcast.
You know what I like about it? We could do. So I was reading The Da Vinci Code, and then he went into the Louvre.
And there was that one part in Digital Fortress. Oh, that's fantastic. We're just going to get, it's going to be like Sneakers. We're going to get random people on the street to just make sound bites of the names of Dan Brown books.
Can you just please give me a high five for a Sneakers reference,
and
sir?
Then we're going to dub it in. So Jamie's going to be talking about, and then we're going to have like, you know, some Hindu guy down the street, a Digital Fortress, and just dub it in over Jamie's, like nothing ever happens. I'll call up my Verizon rep and have them say it. Fucking
brilliant.
That is good stuff right there. Money in the bank.
So, what is your favorite comic book adaptation? Is there one that you hearken to?
Favorite comic book adaptation?
I know I'm throwing you on the spot.
Jeez.
I know, I just
you know what?
On it.
If you have one, you go ahead and say it, because I'm going to think for a little bit. Because I haven't.
That's fair.
Just because I haven't been a comic book collector in like 20 years. So anything I have comic book wise is, you know, late 80s, early 90s, late 90s.
Oh,
so
sure.
I'm just trying to think back to what I have that they might have put on the air.
Yeah, I mean part of the problem is that a lot of it we've covered a lot of comic books already in our three short episodes.
Yeah.
So it's kind of rough to not sit there and go, "You know what?
Someone just went short."
it's hard not to say like X-Men, you know. X-Men's a really great fucking movie.
Yeah.
I will say there's a lot of movies that I think, or rather a lot of adaptations that we haven't covered that I was disappointed in, like little things. Lemony Snicket.
Okay.
Loved those books.
Right.
If they're kid lit, they're fantastic. They're very dark. They're very sarcastic. The longer you go on with the books, the more dark and sarcastic they get. And then the movie's horrible. Jim Carrey was cute. They were trying to do something and they failed.
Okay.
You have any others?
Because
I have like another three.
I mean, the one thing I have on the list here is 2001: A Space Odyssey. That's a little bit different because
it's very different. But yeah,
that book was written while they were filming the movie. They kind of wrote the book and filmed the movie the way they filmed Lord of the Rings and just did everything at the same time.
Sure.
So there was a lot of similarities between the two, and that was there were some differences, but they were very, very minor. But I don't even know if that constitutes an adaptation, since one didn't really come from the other. They were both conceived and put down at
very
basically
special
the same time. Yeah.
Did you happen to see John Dies at the end yet?
I did not.
Oh.
I know it's been like 2 weeks since our last podcast.
I know.
I still haven't gotten around to seeing it.
Okay. Meta joke. So, when you get a chance to see it.
Yes.
I will lend you the book if you want to read it first.
Okay.
The book is fucking hysterical. It is balls to the wall. The funniest book I read, whether it was last year or the year before, but that year. The movie, I think I even said this on a previous podcast, it's good. The actors are a little too Abercrombie and Fitchy.
Okay.
They're just a little too pop collar, and in the books, they're scumbags. Like, they live in, like, broken down homes, and it's just like, I rolled off the sheet and I landed on the floor. Like, that's their bed. That's
gotcha.
It. The movie's a little Abercrombie and Fitch, but it still keeps it funny enough.
Okay.
And so I highlight, it has a big sausage monster. There's a penis, doorknob, lots of little things, really.
Okay. Since we're, you know what, I will go on. It's a reference that I made in the first podcast. I did get a couple of good messages about it that I referenced it. We're going to go back. Zack Snyder, Watchmen.
Okay.
Probably out of all the comics that I have and that I've read, my favorite comic of all time.
It's a controversial Watchmen. Decision, I will say.
It's the movie being on there? Or
being one of your favorites.
Oh, the book?
Oh, the book. Fuck the
no,
book.
The
book's
book is fantastic. No, yeah, the book's book. No, I'm saying the book is my favorite of all time.
Okay.
The movie, 80% of it, amazingly faithful to the book. Ending, as we all know, had to get changed because they didn't have another 5 hours to do Tales of the Black Freighter and the trip to Lost Island.
They did do the Tales of Black Freighter as the comic cartoon thing.
Yep.
Which was kind of cool.
And I think there is a director's edition out where you got both discs.
Mm-hmm. I believe so. I haven't seen it, but I believe you're correct.
So yeah, but I mean, that's been made already. I would have to say if there was one that I would want to see, comic
Ooh,
book to movie...
That's a good question.
And you know what? I'm going to touch on it, even though I think maybe the seeds might be planted to drift in that direction.
Mm.
But I would love to see an Infinity Gauntlet movie. I don't know if you could do it as a movie. It might have to be like a mini-series on HBO or Showtime, just because it's so...
Dense.
Weird. What would you cut out of it?
I don't know.
I mean, you've got Avengers. The cast is growing. Avengers 2. They're bringing in Thanos either to tease him for 2 or to tease him to bring him around in 2 to use him for 3. Who knows? But you're already talking, you know, Thanos, the Avengers, Scarlet Witch, Quicksilver coming in. You've got Guardians of the Galaxy coming out. I mean, that's the whole mishmash of...
Yeah.
That's half of the Infinity Gauntlet cast
Most
right
definitely.
There.
And that's precisely why they're setting it up.
Yeah.
I saw a picture. The dude who plays Andy in Parks and Rec, he's this doughy goofball.
Okay.
And there's a picture of him that's... This is what he looks like in Parks and Rec, and he's just kind of a doughy goon.
Right.
And then this is what he looks like for Guardians of the Galaxy. And, oh my God, he is
really?
A brick shithouse.
Wow.
I'll show you. I'm like, I was looking going, I just want to follow that V down. Wait a minute. What am I doing? I'm straight. Like, it's insane.
We're going to have to dig those pictures up and throw them on somethingcast.com.
Oh,
so
excellent. Yes, we will.
Our listeners can get a view at what you are talking about and decide for themselves if they would like to follow the V down.
But if I was to put a comic book to TV, and they've wanted to do it for a long time, they've hemmed and hawed about it. Alias, the comic book,
okay,
which I don't know whether you've read. It's Brian Michael Bendis. It's almost a Mary Sue story, except he does it so well nobody cares. It's a crime fighter in that she's a private eye. She doesn't have superpowers, but you know at some point in time she was related to the Avengers. It's done in the Max style, so it's very adult-oriented, as the first anal sex in Marvel Comics, as she's being pounded by Luke Cage.
As you do.
As you get... Anyway. But you come to find out that she was a part of the Avengers, and she was mind-wiped by the Purple Man. He makes the Purple Man fucking creepy. She was a former Avenger known as Jewel. She lost her power. She just disgraced the whole thing, and now she avoids the Avengers at all costs. She kind of doesn't like the superhero so much.
Sure.
But she slowly but surely gets folded into the regular universe.
Various positions by Luke Cage?
Yes. But she's now part of the regular Marvel universe. She's part of the Avengers. She's been a secondary, tertiary member of the team, family, what have you.
Is she going to be in Sucker Punch too?
She'd be awesome at Sucker Punch.
Awesome.
But so they've said they wanted to put it up. Now Disney has the ability to, so they should. One of the big concerns was that at the time that they wanted to do it, there's already a show on TV called Alias.
Yeah, well, that would...
There you go.
See, that was the first thing I thought of when you said Alias, and that might be, you know, a little bit of a problem, because I hear that show was fairly popular.
It was. The kids did enjoy it.
When it was on.
I enjoyed the shit out of it, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
It was what made me, like... That'll get me into the Lost tirade, and we know we're saving that for another day.
Yeah, we're just to give our listeners some teasers.
Oh, yes.
Some behind upcoming the stuff that we've been brainstorming. We're going to do an episode about zombies.
Yes.
Because, you know, World War Z recently came out, added a whole new layer of zombie to the zombie pantheon.
To the already fairly... packed zombie crust, if you will.
We're going to do an episode strictly on Lost. I know we have a couple of our listeners who are either watching it for the first time or rewatching it or, you know, talking about it or enjoying it as Jamie over here chews on his microphone. I want to do an episode about sports movies. There's a ton of those out. And I'm not
I've
just
seen
talking,
a couple.
I'm not just talking Raging Bull or, you know, Any Given Sunday.
Okay, good.
You know... Legend of Bagger Vance.
Wildcats.
You know, Bend It Like Beckham. Sure. You know, Days of Thunder. Stuff like that. Just
Cutting Edge.
There you go.
Woohoo!
Thank God. It's not just talking about movies based on sports, but movies that have a healthy dose of sports as part of the storyline.
Rocky.
I want to get into that. We're going to do, God damn it, Before I Die, we are going to do a goddamn Fast and the Furious episode. Because... Jamie started this little pet project that I shamelessly glommed onto.
You are more than welcome to. It's part of the reason we're doing this.
It became.
It really is.
It was like a throwaway little joke that he had for a couple days that I just planted and watered and put in the hothouse, and it has germinated into a huge number of ideas, which is just absolutely silly.
Because it's all based on a fucking Vin Diesel movie.
It is.
It's great.
But
it really
is. It's
a
Vin Diesel movie.
But legitimately speaking, I don't know whether if we hadn't started like hanging out and going to the board games and just the Fast and the Furious discussion, which warped into movie discussion, I don't know whether it would have been like, yep, yeah, we should do this. Like, so let's just assume that that's like the seed that germinated this entire something.
I agree. We'll have to send Vin Diesel a thank you letter. Maybe a little you know, gift basket. Ooh. But for those of you who are unaware of the story, which might pretty much be everybody who's not in this room,
mm-hmm.
We go to a comic book store.
WildPigComics.com.
Wild Pig Comics. Wild Pig Chris. A little shout out for Chris.
Yeah. He doesn't know how to use the computer.
We'd been going there for, you know, game night. They do game night on Wednesday night. Great, good time to hang out, play some board games, blah, blah, blah. And we're playing this board game, and Jamie's beautiful wife, Madison, turns to him halfway through the board game and goes, oh, I can totally see what you were talking about Rob. in front of me. Whoa, hey, whoa. What are you doing? And Jamie goes, oh, I'll tell you later. Fucking shitting me? Are you seriously? And it's because, you know, Jamie, this isn't Jamie's first rodeo. He's on the podcast before. Looking to get into it again. Decided single person. I almost said single player. Single player podcast.
Right.
Not so fun. And we just started bandying about the idea. And we had already been tossing around this Fast and the Furious joke thingy for the past couple weeks. So yeah, that's kind of where this whole thing kicked off. But we're doing a zombie episode. We're doing a Fast and the Furious episode. We're doing sports movies. If you guys have an idea for a topic that you want us to hash out and riff on, somethingcast@gmail.com.
Yep. And if you have thrown comments, once the website is up and running, by the time you listen to this, the site should be mostly functional. Add into the comments, there'll be a comment section, and then we'll go from there as to what other sort of media you want us to attach to it. I'm not big on forums anymore. I think they're kind of a dead dog, but you can most definitely, there'll be a comment section under each podcast where you can blarga blarga underneath.
Sure. Like I said, if you have ideas for topics, throw them out there. If you have comments about topics that we've touched on, stuff that we missed that you want us to revisit. Christ, we're in our third episode, and we're talking about revisiting stuff already.
Welcome to it's Viewer like Mail, episodes 5 through 8.
It's like the Mythbusters. We're doing a viewer special. So yeah, hit us there. Jamie already mentioned the website, somethingcast.com.
Yep.
While you're visiting our website, please go and check out inhislikeness.com.
Oh, you.
Web comics created by Mr. James Hatton sitting next to me here. We have some friends out there. We're going to pitch them too because... Well, karma being what it is.
I will go for Super Art Fight. If you've never seen those boys, they are some of my favorite people on the convention circuit. They are two people fighting on art boards until they get to the center. It's part pro wrestling, part graffiti work. It's probably one of the coolest shows you'll ever get to see if you go to conventions. So those are my boys.
Very cool. So this is sign-off time,
I think it is.
We're pretty much wrapped up here.
So I'm James Hatton.
I'm Podcast Rob.
We will see you next time. And
peace!
Thrones, yeah. Game of Thrones, yeah. Game of Thrones,
fucking Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones, fucking Game of
Thrones, yeah. Game of Thrones, yeah.
Game of Thrones,
Game of Thrones,
fucking Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones, fucking Game of
Thrones, yeah. Game of Thrones, yeah, Game of Thrones,
fucking Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones, fucking Game of
Thrones, yeah, Game of Thrones, yeah,
Game of Thrones, Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones, fucking Game of
Thrones, yeah, Game of Thrones, yeah, Game of Thrones,
Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones, fucking Game of Thrones, fucking Game of
Thrones, yeah, Game of fucking Thrones.